This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Presented by Crop Metcalf, they are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville, Jason Bishop, and Eric Bickle. Our pal Dan Helly from the NFL Network is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. But I believe joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our buddy John Arand, reporter for the Sports Business Journal. What's going on, John?
Not too much, guys. How are you? Groundhog Day.
It is Groundhog Day. And, you know, I'm wondering for somebody like you that you cover media in sports, I mean, what is ESPN doing these days? They're looking forward to the draft, but outside of that, there's just not much content.
Yeah, actually, right now it's pretty good for ESPN. They just had the Michael Jordan doc launch on Sunday, which got pretty big numbers. And they have the draft coming up this weekend, which should get pretty big numbers because they've been really struggling to try to bring any kind of audience to come. Nobody wants to see classic games, even though everybody kind of talks about them. So it's they're praying more than we are to get live sports back. Their whole business is predicated on it.
And, John, it totally makes sense for ESPN to stagger the new episodes of The Last Dance instead of just putting them all out there, you know, for all the bingers that are out there. This way, you know, people look forward to the next few episodes coming out over consecutive weekends. It wouldn't have made any sense to just unleash all 10 of them at once, correct?
Well, no, that's sort of the Netflix model. And when ESPN Plus ends up being bigger than ESPN, which should happen in probably like 10 years or so, I think you'll see them start to do that. But this is like an old traditional television programming strategy, and they're just trying to get – they're going to get 5 nights where they're going to win the night, and they're going to bring in – I mean, they brought in 6 million viewers, which is more than they would get for a general NBA playoff game, you know, to watch – What is it, like 20-year-old highlights, more than 20-year-old highlights of Michael Jordan. I mean, it's a pretty significant number. And the more they can draw that out over the whole month of April and May, you know, the better they are.
Is there – I actually, John, would have thought it would have gotten a higher number because we're all trapped. There's nothing on. And I understand that that's a great number for them, and it's their highest-rated documentary ever. But, you know, we talked about it. Like, The Sopranos were getting like 10, 11, 12 million viewers. Who wasn't watching The Last Dance? That's what I want to know. They went from 6.3 million in the first hour, as you report, and then 5.8 in the second. Is that just a product of a little later in the day, people going to bed? Or do you think there was a little drop-off?
I don't know. That cracked me up. Who are those five? I want to interview one of those 500,000 people that decided, like, okay, I don't need to see episode two. It could be everything from people getting late and people just putting it on DVR. Right. But traditionally, in TV terms, the later you go, the more you bring in a West Coast audience, and the later numbers bring in bigger audiences. So it makes no sense, really, why would it dropped off. I would have expected it to increase.
Yeah. That's the way I feel. I just feel like they, you know, it was getting late. Some people still have to get up and go to work, and they just DVR'd. I actually DVR'd both of them and watched them the next day, John. I didn't watch them live at all.
That's possible, but I told the boys I actually had huge expectations for it, and it actually dragged a little bit. And part of that is because now we're all binge watching. I had to sit through the dumb commercials, You know, and so for me, I liked it, but I didn't give it an A plus like Lurch. I gave it a B plus.
Oh, I loved it.
And I just thought it dragged a little bit. So I actually wasn't surprised.
Well, did you think it dragged, Eric, because of the commercials or because of the content? I don't believe it dragged because of the content.
I don't know, a little bit. I mean, I got it. Or Jerry Krause is a little turd. But, I mean, you know, I just wanted to kind of go I don't know. Plus, I'd seen a lot of the clips before. Now, when they had the inside stuff, like inside the locker room, that kind of footage that we had never seen before, that I loved.
I don't know. The clip of Jordan going after Krause just made me laugh out loud. Right. I mean, I could watch that. I could watch that 20 times. I've never seen that before. Just watching those old clips, I mean, it just takes you back, doesn't it? I mean, that's pretty much our era.
Great memories, yeah. I wish there were clips of Pippen going after Krause, because apparently they got real uncomfortable, you know, basically the entire season. It was really uncomfortable, and they just never had those clips.
Yeah, they don't quite have those clips. In later episodes, they have sort of the aftermath of those clips. Right. That's going to be pretty cool, but you guys are going to love it. I'm through the eighth episode, actually, the part of the perks of the job.
Oh, wow.
And it gets really good. There are a couple episodes that are just fantastic.
By the way, I saw you retweeted something, which is kind of interesting, I guess, from Classic TV Sports, where if you watch that episode, they imply that Jordan was on that minutes restriction, 7 minutes per half, 14 total minutes for all of the games before the playoffs. But if you actually look at the game log, it started that way, and then it ramped up progressively.
Yeah, that made me laugh. I just went to basketballreference.com, and sure enough, you have the whole minutes thing there. I don't know where they came up with the 7 minutes. It's a great legend, but and he was certainly on a minutes restriction. And there were games where he couldn't play, but he definitely played a lot more than was suggested in the doc.
What are the other, like, because I'm not even checking in on the sports networks. I mean, I haven't watched ESPN other than The Last Dance, I don't know, in a month. What is, like, Fox Sports News doing? What is CBS, are they just all showing old games?
You know, so NBC is they're doing old games, but they're trying to theme them. So it's, you know, they have like an NFL week, or they have an NHL week, and it's around all the leagues that they have deals with. You have sort of old documentaries and old movies. I think I've seen Bull Durham on every single schedule on that's out there at some point. ESPN is sort of better set up. They have all that live programming that goes, you know, from, you know, early morning straight into sort of prime time. So they're sort of set up to go, and they'll talk about Tom Brady for, you know, for a couple weeks straight. But they really are struggling, because there's, I mean, all these networks, they all make their money off live sports and the shoulder programming that goes around live sports. So the idea that they can bring, you know, 6 million people in to watch a 25-year-old documentary, basically, is, you know, it's a pretty big win for ESPN.
What's your take on what kind of number they're going to draw for the draft? I mean, everyone's jonesing for the draft. It should be a huge number.
I think so, and I think that you saw a couple of reports coming out yesterday of some of the snags. I think it's going to be hilarious watching some of these guys try to work a computer, or, you know, what's going to happen and what's going to go wrong, because something's going to go wrong. And I think there's added interest with that, too. I think people are home. It's live programming. It's about the NFL, which still dominates. I think you're going to see really monster numbers on this. It's going to blow away the Jordan 6 million. I think you could easily see a record high rating number off this one.
Wow.
Now, which of the sports do you think the PGA Tour, they've kind of going hard. They've got a date. To me, it makes sense. I feel like it's very plausible to play this without fans, and you don't need as many volunteers. You get all these guys tested and get them out there. June 11, I guess, is when they plan to resume. Do you see anybody starting up before that?
Yeah, I think the UFC has been talking about that. Of course, I don't know what you consider the WWE, but it's, you know, a sort of live programming. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. All right, let's move on from that. But I think that you can take a look at that and suggest that that's, you know, that they're sort of individual sports. It's easier to control than if you have, like, you know, a 45-player roster, or even like a 20-player roster with, you know, nutritionists and trainers and coaches and everything as well. I think the team sports, you really have to sort of sequester and get them away from, you know, literally quarantine them, get them away from society of sorts to make sure that that works out. I think that's a lot easier to do with sort of the mano a mano fights that UFC or boxing or something like that has.
We're joined by John Aurand, media reporter for the Sports Business Journal. Give him a follow on Twitter at Aurand_SBJ. Were you surprised how quickly the XFL pulled the plug and suspended operations into 2021? I understand that the pandemic, you know, came out of nowhere basically and blindsided them in their first season. But what we kept hearing about the XFL was they have deep pockets. They're going to be able to withstand, you know, a few seasons. But I guess when, you know, you can't have games and you can't, you know, put your product out there, it was too much for them.
Yeah, man. I think the last time I was on, I was like, yeah, they'll be around for a year or two. I mean, everybody expected that they were – their whole business plan was predicated on being here for 2 years. And Vince McMahon had set aside, I think it was like $500 million to make sure that he was able to get that. But if you take a look, some of the red flags that came up, WWE stock just started to tank. Vince is so tied into that WWE stock, and his personal fortune took a big ding. I mean, he lost, like, you know, at least $1 billion, I think it was. We have a story in this week's issue that sort of has – I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. So all of a sudden, you know, the deep pockets became a little – they're still deep, but they became a little bit less deep. So it was a move that definitely surprised me because I didn't think they were going to be great guns, but I thought that they were proving to be okay. You know, they weren't – the league itself was getting pretty good attendance. The TV ratings were okay. You know, they weren't terrible. And I thought the quality of play was actually pretty good too. So I wasn't alone. I think a lot of people really expected to go to year two. So that was that caught me off guard.
Hey, John, I wanted to ask you about Quibi, the new streaming service. Is that going to have any sports content? What's the deal with Quibi?
Yeah, so far, not really. I've sort of dabbled in that a little bit. But it's if it has sports content, it's going to be one of these. You're not going to see a big league like the NFL or the NBA go and give their programming to Quibi. And you saw the deal that I'm much more interested in is the NBA doing that deal with Microsoft, which shows that, like, these big leagues, they did a deal with Microsoft where, you know, they're going to control their own, basically kind of set up their own over-the-top service, direct-to-consumer service. And it just shows that these leagues want to control their own content, and they're not going to sort of license it out to Quibi until or a service like Quibi until that becomes much more established. Are you watching Quibi?
No, I know it was like free. I'm always afraid to try these free things because then eventually you end up paying for the subscription and you sleep on it and all of a sudden you're paying for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you wake up. It's like, wait, they got me again. It hasn't started all that well. I think they wanted to do mobile only at first. And now after like, I think like one day they were like, okay, you can watch this on the web as well. It's been a pretty tough start for those guys.
How do you see college athletics playing out here? I mean, Barish Vluga wrote a column, and it was eye-opening to me. He just had some of the hard facts, you know, that a school like Ohio State, if they lose 7 football games, that could be as much as $45, $50 million in lost revenue. I think you're the one that I was scrolling through Twitter and retweeted that, like, Boston University is considering not even opening until the spring of 2021, which obviously would eliminate, if that was widespread, that would eliminate football. How do you see this playing out at the college level?
Yeah, I think the actual colleges themselves are okay. It's the non-revenue sports. I think University of Cincinnati already decided that they're going to shut down their soccer program. Look, I have two college kids that are home right now, and I think that there is a, you know, 50-50 chance or better that they're not on campus in the fall. Like, you know, and so if the students aren't on campus, everybody laughs at me when I say this, but, you know, the college presidents still view football as students playing a sport. And if there aren't students on campus, there's not going to be a football season. And we had the Notre Dame AD came out and said that he wasn't going to have Notre Dame play in an empty stadium. Yeah, and so, you know, there are big questions. I have I think there's a pretty good chance that there's not going to be any kind of college football season this fall. They might try to push it into early next year or something along those lines. There could still be some games, but it's there's a big question mark about that, I think.
That would be devastating.
It would be tough, but could you imagine like Alabama, Auburn in an empty stadium? I mean, that's like unthinkable.
I couldn't see that. I couldn't see that. I mean, it would just be devastating for college football to be certainly canceled, but even delayed into the spring. I don't even know how you could do it in the spring. What about all those kids who are planning for the combine and the draft? I mean, they're not going to play and jeopardize their career and play in March when the draft will be a month later. I mean, that doesn't make sense either.
Yeah, what do you do? Even like, you know, let's take Maryland for an example. You have lacrosse plays on Byrd Stadium. You know, so all of a sudden you have the spring sports running into the fall sports, and it would be a cluster for certain.
I mean, think about it. There's no chance Trevor Lawrence is going to play in January, February, March if he's planning on getting drafted in April.
And then have to play with grown men starting in when's minicamp start?
Right. Yeah. I just don't see it. Real quick, getting back to the draft, I understand the technical glitches, you know, through, the virtual technical glitches with Zoom or whatever they're going to use. But I don't understand why there's got to be some sort of a conference call where if there's a technical glitch, the team is just calling into the league going, all right, we're taking this guy. There should be no glitches.
You would think, right? I think.
Yeah, I would think that.
I think Schefter had a tweet that said that, the Bengals, right? But on the very first pick, that there was a technical glitch with
that.
So, yeah, look, we've all had fantasy football drafts, and so we see how you can get past some of those technical glitches. But I think it's going to make for fun viewing, and that's going to be one of the reasons that I tune in. But I also rubberneck on the car crashes, so there you have it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, John. All right, appreciate John, the time you, as always.
Thank you, John.
There. Stay safe.
Appreciate it.
Stay safe, guys. Thanks.
Hey, John, real quick.
Yep.
Just out of curiosity, where are your kids in college?
I have a daughter up at Holy Cross, and she's a freshman up there, and a son at Temple.
Wow,
very cool.
All right, well, good luck to them.
All right. Thanks, man. Take care.
All right,
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I saw the Boston story, and I was talking to Kelsey about it last night. I find it hard to believe that in New York – in the city, that everything is going to be up and running, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't open up, my son talks to his buddies, you know, from school, his teammates every day. They're already planning where they're going to live in the fall and stuff. If they don't start anywhere close to near on time, he's going to be catatonic. I mean, he's just.
He may be an expert gamer.
That's true.
He doesn't care about that. He's just doing that to get through the day.
Sure.
I mean, does not care about it. All he wants to do, and I don't blame him, is he wants to be with his boys.
My wife and I were talking about this yesterday. If, let's just say, Virginia Tech is closed for on-campus activities in the fall, but we have already signed a lease for an off-campus apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we send her down there just to stay with her three girlfriends? I mean, they can take the online classes there, obviously.
If it's safe...
Yeah.
I think I am.
At least you still have a little college experience there. You're living on your own.
I got half an OSHA between you and me to just send him up there so he could be around his boys and have fun.
I think
as soon as they say it's safe.
Yeah, I think we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Because there's no way she's going to stay here for next fall. There's just no way she'll.
Right.
She can't tolerate that.
She doesn't want to be there. And frankly, at this point, I mean, maybe you still want her around. But, you know. She needs to grow and do her thing.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I like having her around, but I know she needs to get out on her own.
Yes.
So I think we're going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know for us, I mean, and I think JP had a similar experience. When the kids go away and they come back, it's like, I don't know, it's like a renewed part of your relationship. Everyone, you know. I don't know. It's just,
and there's a maturation. I mean,
there's a maturation process.
It's different for every kid and every different circumstance. But I always say this: 2 years before Kelsey goes to New York, we would take the Metro and go to a Wizards or Caps game, and she would be freaked out, saying everything was sketchy. And now she's in the city, taking the subway, but before all of this stuff, and traveling to 15 countries in 3 months, it's unbelievable how much she's matured in just like 2 years.
Yeah. And there's a mutual respect probably between you guys that you didn't have before as she's matured, you know? I mean, last night we were...
Some days.
We were sharing rye whiskey at the fire pit. I mean, how great was that? Oh, I loved it. Loved it. All right, what are we doing when we come back?
Your entertainment page. You're going to try and entertain
us.
EP?
Okay, I got you. I got you. I got a bunch of stories here. I'm not going to tease it, though. I mean, I'll tease one. There's a celebrity, famous person, that's getting shamed for walking around without a mask when he's got the corona.
Oh, wow.
I don't blame the people for shaming him. All right, don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow us on TV. Dan Helly, TV superstar from NFL Network, is going to join us today at 9 o'clock. And should mention, after us on Grant and Danny, they have the ex-Redskins GM, Scott McLuhan, is going to join them at 11 o'clock. So you don't want to miss that. McLuhan in the news yesterday.
Yeah.
As he made very flattering comments about Trent Williams, saying he believes Trent Williams, who supposedly will be traded this week, we'll see, is better than any tackle prospect in the draft.
Is McLuhan working for the Browns at this point, or is he doing his own scouting service and just subcontract?
I think he was with the Browns as a consultant last year.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know exactly what he's doing, but that's a nice bouquet for the Redskins, you know. If people still consider Scott McLuhan's opinion valuable, that's a nice little bonus for the Skins. Hey, he thinks he's better than anybody in the draft. He's worth certainly more than a fourth-round pick. So I like it. That's a good get by the GP there, GP and Danny. All right, you want to get into the world of Hollywood and entertainment?
Yes, Ricky.
Valdez, play the music. By the way, I got to give a shout-out to Propane Taxi.
They've already come
by this morning.
Love those guys.
They picked up two of my old dead tanks, dropped off two new sillies.
Very good. Stop lugging them tanks, EB.
That's right.
Got to thank my girl, Michelle Manti, for
making
that
Michelle.
Happen.
I got one half full connected now. I got one waiting for as a sub coming off the bench.
Right. I got three. I always have three.
Yeah, I got two, so I should be fine through the summer.
There's nothing. Propane Taxi is incredible. I don't even know what it is. I don't know if it's $10, $20, whatever it is. It's genius.
It's worth it. You know what it is? It's worth it.
It is worth it.
I don't like driving around with a damn tank, propane tank in my car.
Nope.
And B, frankly, it's a pain in the butt to go to wherever you got to go, Home Depot or whatever, and wait, get a guy, open the cage, fill up your tank, put it back. Yeah. It's just a pain. They come by, drop it off, $10, $20, whatever it is, and you're straight.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. I'm going to do some turkey burgers tonight.
There you have it.
On
the
grill.
We're going to have to use the grill today, 100%.
Yeah, hook it up.
I haven't done it in like the last 2 days, but I've had fire cakes, the fire cake.
Although I think we're supposed to get some thunder boomers now. I don't think it's going to be at dinner time, but 12, 1, 2 o'clock, some thunder boomers coming through.
That sucks.
Yeah, it doesn't look great right now.
I hate rain. I hate gray days.
Yeah, but it'll be quick. It'll be quick.
It effing sucks.
It won't be an all-day affair, but it'll...
I'll still have a one-match fire cakes. I'll still make it happen, even with the wet wood.
It's the world's longest match. It's like a 100-foot-long match.
No, I just figured it out.
It's the wood. It's the wood.
All right, we talked about the celebrity that's being shamed. And listen, I'm sick of people shaming me for an opinion I have on something, or if I don't get a local beer. Like, you guys can go eat a you-know-what. But if someone is shaming someone for sort of violating corona protocol, I'm okay with it. It's about the only thing I'm okay with.
Yeah, you can corona shame somebody.
You
absolutely.
Can corona shame anybody you want.
Yep.
And there's a part of me that understands what he's doing here, but George Stephanopoulos was photographed walking around the Hamptons with no mask on.
Now, walking around the Rodneys.
Now, he just acknowledged that he's got the COVID-19. Now, I believe he had said to date he had had no symptoms. He looks perfectly fine in the pictures. Mm-hmm. His wife has struggled a little bit. She's got it. And he's walking around. Now, he's got a mask around his neck.
Right.
But he's walking around on the phone. And I get it.
He's on the phone. He's on the phone.
It's hard to talk on the phone with a mask.
Right.
I bet it's, you know, it's...
He's just got a corona phone.
It's weird. I support the mask and I wear the mask, but let's acknowledge that it is weird. There's no doubt.
Right.
So people in the Hampton, they're bitter.
But he was
outside.
They
see a guy with active corona, as far as we all know, walking around with no mask.
Well, what if he put the mask on if he went inside somewhere? If he's
The rule is there, even when you're outside, if you have corona, you got to cover up.
Well, maybe he...
You shouldn't even leave the house, is my understanding. If you have corona, you're not allowed to leave the house.
He should be in a basement with people delivering him food and then just scrambling up the stairs and having no contact with him. He shouldn't even be outside.
Like, I've seen him... I mean, I don't know. I don't really watch ABC, but I mean, I've seen images. Isn't he still working throughout this whole thing? And he's showing up at the office?
Pretty sure.
I understand he has no symptoms, but all right... I'm outraged.
Just zoom in from home, Ricky.
Zoom in from home. You got the corona.
We're zooming in, and I don't have the corona.
You got the rona.
Right.
It's weird because some of these networks, they have people all, you know, from their homes zooming, but then others have at least one in the studio,
yeah.
And then the co-anchors or whatever are all
at their homes. I think that seems to be the general rule of thumb. They have at least one guy, usually one guy there.
Yeah, but I'm guessing that one guy or girl... Yeah. Isn't carrying around the COVID-19.
Right.
So stay home.
Why is he still going to work and he's got the rona?
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Maybe the doctor said it was okay. Maybe his boss has said it was okay.
Maybe
he put the mask on right after he hung up the phone.
I'm sure, but they said he was photographed. Long phone call.
Hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. His dumb ass should be in a basement with a door, with a locked door.
I agree.
Where he can't get out for at least 2 weeks.
And I get it. You don't have any symptoms, but you can still spread it, Rick.
Of course you can.
Grr.
It
gets on my nerves.
Basement for 2 weeks for him.
If you get the rona, you got to do like what they were doing in China. You deadbolt him into the apartment.
He should be arrested on site. If he's walking around, even with a mask on outside, if you actively have the rona and you're outside of your house, arrested on site.
Right. Drabby, do you want to tell your story of your friend? Is Drabby in the studio?
I'm here.
Do you want to tell your story of your friend? You don't have to mention his name.
What friend?
The friend that had the rona.
Oh, I can't talk about that. You know that.
You can't?
I'd love to hear it.
All right.
Are we talking about the thing I told you about yesterday?
No.
A different friend?
Are we talking about the person's unique mask?
No, I'm talking... Oh, that we got to talk about, too. But I'm talking about the friend that had the rona that was walking around a big superstore.
Oh. Oh, well, went to Walmart, apparently, and then called his friend, who's...
A doctor,
and asked him what he should get for coronavirus.
And the doctor screamed at him, what you should get is your ass out of the Walmart.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So your friend was diagnosed. He was confirmed positive for corona.
Yes.
And he was walking around the Walmart?
Yes. Because he's a donk.
Thinking they had something over the counter that could fix it?
It's just, I mean, there's so many donks out there.
Oh, he is a donkey.
And listen, here's the thing. I actually know the guy. He's a nice guy. I think he was just trying to load up because he figured he was going to be quarantined for 2 weeks. So he gets diagnosed, and he goes to Walmart to load up.
He said he needed beer.
He needed beer.
Definitely needs beer.
Well, if you need
beer,
you're
in your house for 2 weeks.
It is important.
You call Drizzly. They hook it. Or you go to drizzly.com.
What did you tell him when he told you that story?
Oh, I just thought this guy's the world's biggest idiot. But, I heard about it secondhand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you haven't talked to him?
No.
Do I know who it is?
No.
Okay.
Probably not.
Well, that person
is
stupid.
To this. So listen to this. We haven't talked about this. I'm not sure that these guys know this. I don't know if they've heard us talking about it during the breaks. It's the funniest thing I've heard in weeks, and this is just a terrible time. Oh. So there's somebody that we all know. I'm not going to say who. I'm not going to say where the person works.
No hints.
Why do you tease me? Can you text me real quick? Just text it to me.
I'll text it to you. There's somebody that we know that's kind of an angry, hostile guy. He just walks around angry and hostile all the time.
It's not me. It's not me.
Yeah, it's not Lurch. Kind of like Lurch. And I guess he's just to kind of give this whole virus thing the middle finger, he was walking around someplace, and it was noticed by someone, I don't even want to say who noticed it, that he was wearing a mask made of his wife's panties.
Nice.
Drab.
How'd they smell?
Drab jumps to mind immediately.
And when he was confronted on it, it was a eureka moment for Drab.
They
said to him, well, wait a second, that looks like lingerie or something or your underwear. And he goes, yeah, it's my wife's panties. Had three of them made.
Wow.
So this guy.
Quite a move.
This guy is walking around in. It's genius, by the way. If you have the balls to do this, I mean, God bless you. He's walking around in public at work with presumably a few women at work, right? You know, socially distancing, but with a mask of his wife's panties around his face.
That's just gross. I'm sorry. That's gross.
kind of hot.
The panties were kind of hot.
Yeah, they had like a little bow on them. Yeah.
Well, hold on. What's the
was it a thong? Was it a boy shorts? What was it?
Like sheer granny panties.
Yeah, like black granny panties.
Big granny panties?
Stopping no viruses. I saw a picture of it.
They
probably have more viruses in them.
Right.
What's the wife look like?
Nobody knows. The great unknown.
That's a big difference.
Check your text.
Check your text. He texted you.
I'm checking it right now.
Hopefully better looking than the guy.
I got nothing so far.
Yeah, it'll come up. You'll see.
Yeah, I just see, remember Scott Brooks at 11 a.m. today. That's what I see on my text.
I conveniently forgot that.
Well, now you remember it.
No, I'm going to forget again.
It's not a knock against Coach Brooks. You should say.
No,
I'm just saying that's the last text that I've seen.
The last thing you want to do is tape some interview at 11.
I'm getting the name.
I don't have it yet.
Pretty creative.
I've got it.
What do you think about that, Cakes?
Oh, it's on the Hangout. Right,
is that not one of the funniest things that you've
heard
in
a
while?
It's pretty funny, and I'm not that surprised.
That's an angry guy. I could just see him just going, you know what? If I have to wear a mask, F it. I'm going to make one out of your panties.
I guarantee you that guy's wife looks like poo.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, come on. Just use your head.
That's not the point. The point is he's wearing his wife's panties.
Well, if you had panties around your face, it'd make you a happier person.
He's wearing panties, his wife's panties to work on his face every day.
Oh, okay.
Well, luckily, there can't be that many people at that workplace.
Now I'm going to look at him a little differently when I see him every day, if I see him.
You're going to give him a head nod.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know about you. I have more respect for him than I did before. And I've always liked that guy.
It's quite a move.
We touched on it earlier with John Orand. The Last Dance did great ratings. They were super happy. Did, I think, 6.3 million in the first hour, 5.8 million in the second hour. It's their highest rated documentary in ESPN history. So that's pretty darn good. They're happy. I would have thought it got like 20 million viewers, but I guess I'm just a dope.
It's EB's second favorite hoops documentary of all time.
I'm not sure if that's true, but certainly Hoop Dreams is number one.
Right.
I'm going to have to think about that, Cakes, but I did like it. Mm-hmm.
Are they doing the 10-episode run on Dirk Nowitzki?
When JP's really going to be interested.
And finally, last but not least, A-Rod and J-Lo are in the news. They're super annoying, but...
Oh, so annoying.
They are trying, apparently, to put together a bid to raise money to buy the New York Mets. The Mets, apparently the Wilpons or whatever, were going to sell 80% of the team. And at one point they had a deal, they thought, for $2.6 billion.
It's pretty nice.
But for 80%, but it fell apart. Now the net worth of J-Lo and A-Rod is a combined, anybody care to guess?
$1.5 billion.
No way it's that high.
No. $700 million, though.
Okay.
$700 million, so they need, obviously, to get some financing, but They'd be a great, you know, front for your group if you're trying to get some publicity.
He's definitely
trying
to keep up with Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Because Jeter's the face of the Marlins.
It's a great call, JP.
He's very jealous.
I don't know if
very
you want to jealous. Be the face of the Marlins, by the way, but I guess that's what Jeter's doing.
Very,
that's the reality of Jeter. And so A-Rod's trying to keep up with the Jeters.
Is Jeter going to go down the Michael Jordan highway, be a Hall of Famer that's horrible at owning and managing?
Still probably. Early. Still yeah. early.
Yeah. Still early. Yep. Still early.
All right, remember, we got Dan Helley from the NFL Network. Join us at 9 o'clock as we talk more NFL draft here on the Junkies.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Joining us top of the hour. Remember, you want to keep it locked on the Fan all day. Grant and Danny have Scott McLuhan, ex-Redskins GM, who, of course, was unceremoniously booted from his job.
That's right. He was scapegoated. Bruce Allen's specialty. Scapegoated as many people as possible.
Aren't you guys getting jacked for the draft, though? I mean, we're 2 days away.
I'm getting ready for it. Ready for something tangible to actually happen.
As we're getting closer, I certainly will be as it happens.
I just need to know where I pick in the mock draft. At some point, I need that info from Valdez. I need to start game planning.
Drabby,
I need to figure out where I'm at.
Yeah. Don't forget your mock draft. You got to send
due
in.
On Thursday by noon. I know.
Correct.
When is Valdez going to like pick the names? Because do we not know who the other teams are? Like, who's picking for who? Is that why?
We're still working on that. We'll pick the names tomorrow during the show.
We will.
Yeah.
How many picks do you want to go through?
Yeah, how deep are we drafting?
We're only doing 10?
So that's six of us. Adam is 7. We're going to have Pete, that's 8. Then we need 2 more donks.
If we go that route, yeah.
Grant and Danny, 9-10.
Hey, this wasn't planned, but I saw a story yesterday, and I want to ask Adam about it. Can we get Adam on the line for 1 minute?
Ooh. No, I can't just do 1 minute. If you get the kid
on,
I got to ask
him a few
things.
Segment. Whatever. It was a story. You kind of seen these stories every couple of weeks, right? And the story's general theme was that the best form of sex during coronavirus is with yourself.
Self-sex.
Right. Okay? It was promoting that.
It's the only kind Jason's had in a while.
It was advocating that.
And it's been a while, too.
And my question really was, I was just thinking about it. Like, he doesn't have, you know, a bunch of kids running around in the house. He doesn't have all the chaos that we have. Like, right now, I've got Crop Metcalf in my house. You know, I don't know if you saw him behind me a couple segments ago, but we're in different situations. If you are a single guy, do you think there's been one day during the quarantine where he has not done it?
Ooh, there's maybe one.
Yeah, because he doesn't strike me as overly sexual.
Maybe one or two out of like 35 or 40 days, however long it's been.
Yeah, but I mean, like, like an Oscar Santana type, you know, like a Drabby. Drabby was single. Drabby would be all the time. But Adam just strikes me as like a dopey kid.
Well, also malaise would set it. Like, you know, apathy for
just
him.
Just wants to drink and play video games.
So what do you think?
Watch old soccer. I'm going to say yes. He's definitely gone several days without.
Yeah, I think it's less than you think.
So if it's 30 days, you think he's how many days on?
I'd say three a week.
I would say
15.
I would say 10. 10 to 12.
I'll take the over. Come on.
Over
what?
What
else to do?
I'd say 15 or more.
Yeah, but he's got roommates.
He's got his own room.
Yeah.
He doesn't leave the house.
I think he's stupid. I think he just drinks and eats. And plays video games. I don't even think he. I'm not even sure he knows he's got a penis.
I would take over 20 for sure.
Yeah. Are you trying to track him down, Drabby?
He's on.
He's on. Adam.
What's up, guys?
You're a very single guy, correct?
Yep.
You've been in quarantine.
So single. Couldn't be more single.
For roughly 30 days, right?
Yep.
All right. So, how many times have you not done it to yourself?
Not? What do you mean not?
That's very confusing.
I mean, like, whatever. And on a have you withheld from self-gratification any days?
30 days.
You mean whistling? Whistling.
Yes. You didn't even know how to speak. Yeah, whistling.
Probably 150.
What?
You've ripped off 150?
No, we're saying.
I said, have you? During the show sometimes.
Okay.
Oh, that's gross. Have you withheld any days?
No.
You have a 30-plus day streak.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Why?
At all.
He's by himself. Of course.
Adam, are you being truthful?
I'm 100%. I've got nothing to do.
Right. Hold on. I want to get into this show self gratification.
Right. Yeah. What was boring you? I'm psyched for this.
Well, it's not that, but so I watch the show sometimes on my phone, and like during commercials, you know, I'll just throw up a little bit of like Pornhub and then go back to the show.
You just knock one out during a commercial break?
Sometimes it bleeds over into the Junkies Blitz or something, and then I'll get back to it.
The Blitz. Right.
He probably hooked himself watching a replay of himself on TV because he loves the ADs so
Jason,
much.
You and I couldn't have been more wrong.
I don't believe him. He lies about everything.
Are you lying, Adam? Be honest. I'm asking
no,
a liar
I'm having
to
a
be
great
honest.
Time.
Huh? All right, so
there's
never
no way
been,
you've done it. There's
never
no way you've
zero.
Done it 30 times in the last 30 days or more than that.
He said 150 times.
Of course, dude.
No chance.
I totally believe.
I think Jason's, in another world, he doesn't realize how much 25-year-old guys obliterate themselves.
I was 25 at one point,
I know, but
Richie.
you have low T problems. You've had it your entire...
Not when I was 25.
I don't think you were like everybody else. I think most guys are doing that.
You didn't know me.
Jason, you never knocked it out like 3-4 times in a day?
Because I was as horny as anybody, and there's no chance I was doing it 3 times a day. I mean, that's absurd.
Well, then you weren't, because Oscar said he was doing it like 5 times a day.
Physically,
Drabby, what's your record?
I don't even know if physically you could do that.
Drabby, what's your record?
I don't know. 6, probably.
6, Jason.
I mean, EB, you can...
Okay, but not every day.
I think we even said the guy's name, but I don't want to say the guy's name here, but we went to a 50th birthday party at MGM National Harbor like 6 months ago or 9 months ago. And one of the guys there said he actually had a 24-hour window by himself, which is rare where he lives, and he knocked it out like 4 times.
All right, we got to be careful because I just don't know how NBC is handling this.
Right.
But Jason, I think, is just a little bit clueless.
He's a skeptic.
But I was completely wrong on Adam because I put Adam on – just this kind of a big nerd that just plays video games and drinks.
Yeah, he's exaggerating with the 150 number. Here's my question for you, Adam. Be completely honest. So, let's just go with 30 days. It's roughly 30 days. So you've never had a zero on the board.
No.
Okay.
Well, there's just so many options.
What is
now.
What
I'm
is
like
the,
Cal Ripken. Open up Snapchat? There's
okay.
Zero.
Got it. You haven't had a zero. What is your highest number?
Iron Hog.
What's your highest number in a single day?
Don't exaggerate.
Yeah, don't exaggerate. Be honest.
I'd probably say 6.
6?
That is absurd.
6 is absurd. I mean, it almost seems physically impossible.
We're talking a 24-hour window here, guys. We're talking
but still.
One during the junks, and then a little bit after the junks, and then after lunch, and then before dinner, and then before bed. And then I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't fall back to sleep, so I have to.
But that's an outlier. Six has to be the really high end of the range.
Cakes.
Six.
Now I know why he doesn't have a girlfriend. He doesn't need one.
By the way, that's why I wanted
to contact him. I'm the OnlyFans.
Yeah, but seriously, there's nothing else for him to do.
Yeah. All right. We got to hang up on him because I just don't know. I don't know how McKinney. I don't know if McKinney can handle it.
How many times have we been dumped on McKinney's
side? Sorry, Doug.
I mean, I don't think any of it's really dump worthy, but I just don't know how TV reacts.
All right, Adam.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, coming up next.
Never shaking his hand again.
I know that.
Gross.
Great thing,
man.
Thank
you. Dan Helly from the NFL Network joins us here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.